Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. A fun day in studio. Art abounds in studio and artists as well in studio. With me today, Faith Miller, artist and seamstress.
Yes,
had to include both
right.
of those.
Oh, yes.
also known as Muti, right?
Right.
Faith, welcome.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's good to be here.
And a longtime listener and supporter of Worldwide KFUO as well, I know.
Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Back in 1975.
1975. Mm-hmm. That was a good year.
Oh, yes. That's when we got married, too. So, wonderful.
Well, you've been an artist, and I'd like to talk about how art has been a part of your life and your childhood. Mm-hmm. When do you remember art being a part of your childhood?
Well, I've always thought of myself as an artist. There are artists in my family, and they always said, drawing is the first step in art.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when did you start drawing?
Oh, my. Let me just tell a little story.
Okay, I love stories.
Okay. I was born in Southington, Connecticut, and I'm the oldest of four children. When we were children of a hardworking mechanic and a creative seamstress. The problem was he was an alcoholic and she was abused sexually as a child. So they were very young when they started their family, and they struggled to love each other and their children. But we went to church every Sunday, but at home, things were very confusing, and mm-hmm. there were a lot of hard feelings. But God's gift of art helped me as a child, and of course, later on in life, as it is now, helping me.
Mm. So you started drawing as a child then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. When I was two, my mom had my baby sister, and to keep me from being underfoot, she put me in a cardboard box with a bunch of books. So I looked at the pictures, and I learned a lot about drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1956, my aunt started a preschool, and I was in her first class. Mm. And she saw my drawings, and she realized they were detailed for a four-year-old, and so she supplied me with stacks of old telephone company printout paper. I can still see them in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite place to draw was in the attic, where I drew families with many children. I would name each child and put their name and their ages above their heads, because after all, it was like a series, you know. They did all kinds of things together. Went to the beach. They went to church, and it was fun.
So for you, each drawing had a story.
Well, it was like, that's how I organized my life, Andy. Mm-hmm. I just had them doing things together, and I would, mm-hmm. Of course, it was all on still frame because they were drawings.
Sure.
But it was like a story. You're right.
You create these stories all from your imagination.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned that the environment where you were creating art, the attic was your favorite place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why the attic?
Well, I had my own personal mm-hmm. space there. And as I said before, I needed the time, the quiet time, and the order.
Sure.
You know how attics are, but.
Yeah, it was away from everybody else.
That's right.
Now, I would imagine it was also hot in the attic.
Well, it was
parts of the year.
It's Connecticut.
Yeah.
We had windows up there, so it was pretty good. But this past summer was very, very hot there.
Yeah.
And very dry in Connecticut this year. So,
did anyone else invade your space in the attic, or did they all respect that space?
They did. I would, being the oldest, mm-hmm. I would climb up those rickety wooden steps mm-hmm. and hold on really tight so I didn't fall down, and so the other kids couldn't climb up. So I don't know if I had a way of pretending it's a drawbridge or something. I might probably did.
When would you go to your studio in the attic? When did you go? How often? As often as you could?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So you started with drawing.
And then I also had oil painting classes. And when I was a junior in high school, my pastor told me about Concordia Teachers College in Seward, Nebraska. Concordia University, Nebraska, as it's called now, mm-hmm. Was a teacher's College back there in 1970 when I started, and Markshaus and Wolfram and Wigman were art professors, and you know, I just loved the art classes. But it was at Concordia when I started to understand God's great love for me in Jesus.
What was that? What was that like? Tell me about where and when you were learning this. Was it in chapel, in your classes? Who was it that was helping you learn this great love?
I had I never had him for a class, but Dr. Glenn Einspar, who is, he's in his 90s now. He still lives in Seward. But he was so comforting to me. I would go into his office every week, and we would just talk, and that really was amazing. I think he knew that I was, just someone who needed a little bit of help. So, yeah. But after I graduated, I became a teacher and used my artistic ability in the classroom. And now I have 4 grandchildren that I enjoy drawing.
Now, so you studied education and used art in the classroom. What was one of your favorite things to do with students that involved art as a teacher?
Well, in preschool especially, I could either draw on the chalkboard or draw on a easel with a pad and just draw stories. You know how you probably heard the term chalk talk. Well, I would do that often and just tell a story about what a particular person was, you know, a dog or a cat, and tell a story and bring in all kinds of moral moral tips, and also of course stories about Jesus. Love chapel. I'd love to teach chapel to the children, and of course singing, and it was great. I miss those days.
So from childhood, art has been an important part of you and how you express what it is that you've learned, particularly, it sounds like, what you've learned about God's love for you and for others.
Yeah, definitely. I have read Jean Edward Veith's book on...
The Masks of God, yeah.
Yeah, the book in particular... was that I really enjoyed so much was the spirituality of the cross, because I think art is very spiritual. The chapter of the book that helped me so much was vocation, the spirituality of ordinary life. And I've got 2 quotes that I'd like to read about that.
Sure.
That he quoted. He said, "In the doctrine of vocation, spirituality is brought down to earth to transfigure our practical everyday life." And here's the other one. "God heals through the work of doctors, nurses, and other medical vocations. God protects us from evil. He does this by means of the vocations of police officers, attorneys, judges, and the military. God teaches through teachers, orders societies through governments, and creates beauty through artists." I love those quotes.
Why? What is that? How has that, what does that mean to you? How has that brought understanding to your vocations for you?
Well, before I understood this, I always thought, I've got so much other things to do. I've got to do this, do that. And as I said, I didn't paint for a whole year. Last year, 2015, I didn't paint at all. And I wanted to challenge myself. So I did a painting a month starting in January. And I'm going to have a show in October with those 8 new paintings. And so I am... I'm really excited about that. So his book really helped me to... frame in my mind that, I need to do this for a variety of reasons. It makes me happy, you know. It is who I am, and I can give joy to other people, and it's great.
So thanks to Dr. Gene Edward Veith and yes. his writing that helps us understand vocation. But there are others who have also encouraged you in realizing that these gifts and talents that you have are a part of the vocations you have. Who are the others who have helped you understand that as well?
Well, my husband mm-hmm. says, Faith, you were put on this earth to paint. And I really struggle. I try very, very hard to paint. And my studio, he helped me set up an area in the basement, and I have my paints, canvases, easels, and paper, and everything down there. But when he's away, like he is now, he's in Israel until Saturday. When he's away, I leave everything out. So I've got to go home and clean, because tomorrow I drive to LaPorte, Indiana to help our daughter. I could have gone along with him, but I agreed this past spring to help our daughter this particular week with her production of Bye Bye Birdie in LaPorte. So I've got to go and help take care of my little grandson, Rowan.
Again, an artist in the family, it sounds like.
Oh, Carrie is very musical. Musical. Mm-hmm. She's an adjunct professor at Valparaiso and has her own piano studio and plays at two churches on Sunday morning. She runs from one to the other. And she's always doing something in music. So
artists certainly in the family. What was it that you wanted as you were raising your children? What was it that you wanted them? How did you use art in teaching them and raising them? And what did you want them to gain from art?
Well, they gained a lot just by having me as their mother, of course.
Absolutely. Right.
But it's funny because Bert, our oldest, who's a pastor in Iowa, he has an imaginary city called Bertonia. Yes. And he just minutes or so before he was supposed to get married in 2002 to Kristen Uffelman there at Seward, he was talking to his uncle Tim, who's a pastor in New Minden, mm-hmm. Illinois, and Tim said, "You know, Bert, these people you're talking about there in Bertonia, it's almost like they're real." And Bert pointed to his head and said, "They are."
There's value in imagination and art and mm-hmm. art as a form of expression. Mm-hmm. How has it? And you certainly have pointed out how it was valuable for your children, you know, in raising them. What do you love about art and being able to use this as a form of expression? What is it you love about art?
It's me. It's so close to me that I have a hard time even explaining it. I love oil painting because it's so alive. You know, Dr. Seuss had his own means of inspiration. He used J.B. Scotch whiskey to help him do what he did. And I use my kombucha tea, which we can talk about later if there's time. But, you know, after painting on a painting for an hour or two, I the painting itself seems to tell me it's time to take a break. So I let the paint rest. And I take a break, and then I go back later.
You brought several works of art with you today that are part of this challenge that you set for yourself mm-hmm. for the show coming up in October. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit. Choose one and tell me a little bit about mm-hmm. the story.
Well, I'm going to choose the one that has three little girls in it, and they are looking out at. Mm-hmm. Out of the canvas here, looking right at me, and in the background they've got a series of grasses and ornamental grasses and such, and then in front of them they have some chrysanthemums that they're kind of sitting around. Anyway, this particular picture was given to me years and years ago by my friend Janet Crawford there in Waterloo, and I just love this photograph so much. So I I went ahead and I made a beautiful canvas for her of her girls. Now, she doesn't know about this, so nobody tell her. But at the show, I'm going to give it to her. So I'm going to give her special invitation to the show. So there's that one. And then the very first one I did was a picture of my son-in-law, and he's at his piano, or I should say my daughter's piano, and he's musical too. He plays a trumpet. He's a junior high and high school band director. Anyway, he's sitting at the piano, and he's got little Rowan, who's about, I guess about 8 months old there. He's got him on his lap, and he's kind of teaching him how to play. He's mm-hmm. touching the keys, and Rowan is looking out of the canvas. Mm-hmm. And he's got one of his little hands on one of the keys, and he's looking out at me. And so I love that picture. It's beautiful. And then another is of Carrie when Rowan was about 3 or 4 months old, and she's laying back on the couch, and Rowan is he's on her, and they're looking at each other. They're about 3 inches away from each other's faces, and the look on their faces is just priceless. So.
As you're creating work now, you mentioned your studio in the basement, mm-hmm. and described how you like it. You like to be able to leave everything out when you can. And you mentioned even your studio in the attic as a child, a place where you could go away from everything else that was going on. In some sense, it is a solitary time. It's a time away from everyone else. Mm-hmm. Is it lonely too?
Well, it can be. I have 3 cats that keep me company, but they walk away with oil paint on their paws. So that's not good. But
then you have little paw prints around the rest of the house.
I do. It's crazy. It is solitary. As I said, I have to force myself to get into it, but how can I put this? I have other vocations, like what Jean Edward Veith talks about. Mm-hmm. So I work around those vocations to do my artwork. And so when I get a chance to paint, I take advantage of it. If I have a week where I have about 5 hours per day to paint, I'll start a new painting. It's pretty. I feel hesitant sometimes to start a painting because I want to finish it within a week's time, or mm-hmm. because I like wet paint. So if I have to be away from it, the canvas, one of those days that during that week that I've scheduled to do a painting, I put the painting in the palette in my deep freeze to keep it from drying out. So I have my little tricks as to how I do it.
That's interesting. You put it in the freezer to keep mm-hmm. it from...
Mm-hmm. Wow. To keep the paint from... And I've got a big deep freeze, so I just stick it in there. It's kind of funny when I go back and get it, and these little faces look out at me, and they're, oh, you're so cold. But it helps. It really helps.
You have a show coming up in the mm-hmm, near future, mm-hmm. and I want to share that with our listeners. It's a show coming up in Waterloo, Illinois.
Waterloo, Illinois, at the library, and it is, it's October 21st and 22nd, and you can go to their website. It's waterloolibrary.org, and they'll give you the information, or you can call me on my phone. Mm-hmm. It's 618-581-9167, or my email is all lower letters millerfaith127@gmail.com. My husband picked the 127 because that's my birthday, January 27th. So
now, and Miller for our listeners, MUELLER.
Correct.
millerfaith127@gmail.com.
That's right.
All right. And so it's coming up in October, you said 21st and 22nd, is that right?
Right.
Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage my friends to come, and, a painting's like a book, and I'm one of my friends is Katie Sherman, and when I read her books, it's mm-hmm. almost like she's right there with me. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will see that when they come to visit me at the library and view these paintings and know that we're friends, and it's great.
And you'll be there to meet guests?
I'll be there the whole time.
The whole time?
Not only to meet guests, but to also sketch portraits.
You'll be doing sketches?
Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to sit for 5 minutes, I'll be happy to sketch their portrait. And by the way, I would really love to do a painting of Oscar.
Oh, so, we would love it.
Yeah.
So that would be great.
Next year, please give me a
We have
a
to
photo.
Capture him, though, yeah. long enough to get a painting, right?
Right, right.
Well, we would be honored. He's growing like a weed, that's for sure. But getting him still long enough to even get a sketch or an image, get a picture, we'll have to get something for you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm excited about your show coming up at the Waterloo Library, October 21st and 22nd. Come see this wonderful work of Faith Mutti.
Mutti, no, right.
Mutti. Mutti. Yeah.
It's, mom, it's, yeah. It's my alter ego.
Yes.
Mutti. Yes.
Yes. You're the mom. Artist and seamstress coming up in Waterloo, Illinois later on in October. And we can share information. We'll share that on our website with the archive of today's program and maybe an image or two, maybe capture a little bit of your art as well.
Very good.
Hopefully we can share that as well. Faith, thanks so much for coming over and sharing your art with us today. A little preview before the coming up art show.
Oh, thank you so much, and God bless KFUO. We love it.
Thanks so much for being my guest. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Pastor Asbury filling in today for Pastor Whedon. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.